Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thanks, Sonia. So here we are again, and I just want to say thank you to Tim and to Rowan and Anna for filling in for me while I was away. And we may have another 1 or 2 other people speaking before we get to the end of this series, which we are fast coming to the end of. But a little bit of a reminder, my pages are out of order. A little bit of a reminder of the verse that we've been sitting in during this series. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, take delight in honouring each other. And as we've been going through the series, one of the things I hope has been highlighted is the way that we don't do this in our own strength. We can't. This is something we do as God works in us, and as we're shaped by his love and his grace and a whole lot of things that he demonstrates in the Wheel of Tov that we've been sort of locating ourselves on and each week as well, we see, I mean, the last one is nurture Christ-likeness, but we see empathy in Christ. We see the compassion that comes from that empathy, the grace. We see him as somebody who puts people first, certainly puts himself below, he humbles himself below others. We see all these things in Jesus. He is the truth, and he speaks truth. He also nurtures justice and service. This is who he is, and it's through being close to him that we become like him. And so today we're looking at nurturing justice. And so as we think about that, justice is a bit of a tricky word. I could ask you, what is justice? Might give you an example, perhaps. What is justice? On the 17th of August 1980, there was a child who was quite brutally killed. And on the 29th of August in 1982, the mother of that child was convicted of murder and jailed. Is that justice? Now, being a little sneaky, the dates may trigger something for you, but the daughter's name was Azaria Chamberlain. And the mother's name, who was jailed for her murder, was Lindy Chamberlain. Now, some of you, like, this happened in 1980. I was 10 years old, so I remember it being on the news. But this is something that is still floating around. And a couple of weeks ago on SBS on Insight, they had a thing about what had happened to Lindy Chamberlain. Lindy Chamberlain was on the program, along with some other people, with other examples of justice and injustice as well. Is this justice? Well, in case you're not aware of some of the details, and there's Lindy Chamberlain with Azaria at Ayers Rock. September 1988, the Chamberlains' convictions were overturned. They were fully acquitted. It was decided that the original, the very first inquest had concluded that Azaria, baby Azaria, was taken by a dingo. And that was what in 1988 was believed to have happened. And then the 12th of June 2012, Notice how many years 2012 is after 82. The coroner apologised to the Chamberlains. And Lindy Chamberlain received a financial payout as well because of the injustice that was done to her. Now, this program on SBS was all about juries, and there's two minds that, you know, the reality is there's agreement on the fact that our legal system hinges around jurors. And sometimes that works really well, and sometimes it doesn't. And so there were questions around that for this case. The interesting thing is there was research done on the 30th of July 2025, less than 12 months ago, and quite some time after the coroner apologised to the Chamberlains, that 30% of Australians still believe Lindy Chamberlain is guilty, which I find amazing. What is justice? And is it something we can just be the one person in the room and who declares, well, this is justice, and you just need to deal with it, whether you agree with it or not? I mean, it's really good in this moment, isn't it, to just remind ourselves who is the one who is the ultimate judge, and it's not you and it's not me. It's one who knows everything and knows our hearts, and there's some comfort to be had in that. If you look up a couple of dictionary definitions of justice in the Cambridge Dictionary, it says fairness in the way people are dealt with. It's about being fair, but that's also part of the problem, isn't it, because you and I might, like, have you ever, if you're a parent, two children, and said, here, this is fair. And one of them goes, no, it's not fair. And the other one goes, oh, it's fair. Why? Just because somebody declares something to be fair. I mean, it's fine to say fairness in the way people are dealt with, but how do you know it's fair? What is fair? Do you need to feel that it was fair for it to be fair, or can it be fair without you feeling that it is fair? The Merriam-Webster dictionary goes on a little bit more with a definition of justice. It says the process or result of using laws to fairly judge cases, redress wrongs, punish crimes, to judge, administer the law, quality of being just, impartial, or fair. The principle or ideal of fair treatment or right action striving to achieve justice for all people. Don't you like it when they use the word you're trying to understand in the sentence to explain the word? Conformity to the principle of ideal or ideal, righteousness and justice of their cause, conformity to truth, fact or reason. There's something that sort of draws all those definitions together, though, isn't there? That justice is a legal thing or a logical thing or a factual thing. It's a right or wrong thing. If you look at this definition, it almost feels black and white, but if you dig into even this definition, you'll start to see that it starts to unravel a little bit. It's not as easy as it looks. And the Chamberlain case just demonstrates that. Things are not always as they seem. And we can feel that something is an injustice or unfair when it's not. And indeed, something can be the other way around as well. We get confused. For the book, A Church Called Tove, which is what this series is based on, in this book they do supply us with a bit of definition, and it's helpful. So let's have a look at that. Justice means to be empowered through the Spirit, so it's something that we are able to do with God's help. It comes through the Spirit. Isn't it great to know that the ultimate judge is going to be behind real justice when it occurs? Empowered through the Spirit to do the right thing. That simple. What's the right thing? I know. It's that simple, though. Do the right thing. And the right thing is what Jesus teaches. And the book goes on to then say, you know, like nuts and bolts, love God, love each other. The interesting thing too, that the word that is translated as justice in the New Testament is often also translated as to be righteous. If you are righteous, then you are somebody who is full of justice. It also is the word can be translated for justified. And so these things are all sort of a little bit linked in as well. The righteous person will be somebody who is just in how they treat others. And so with that in mind, this idea, there's the right thing at the right time. The book goes on, and this is our first point for this morning. We have 3 points. First point is, know what justice looks like. It says a justice culture knows what justice is, namely doing what is right at the right time, the right thing, will always conform to the character and life of Jesus and his mission to establish God's kingdom on earth. So once again, remember, this is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, this is a God thing that we are able to take part of because of his work in us. And that's why it's always going to conform to his character, who Jesus is and what Jesus looks like and how he lives out. And we see that, you know, through Scripture, what it is to be just in Jesus' life, not just through what he does, but also the parables, like the parable we have for us this morning around this story of this Good Samaritan. And so what is the right thing at the right time? Well, the reality is that it does change. And so just before we look at the parable itself, just want to recognize it can be hard to know what justice looks like because our inner dynamics confuse things so easily. That image came up after doing an image search in my stock images for justice. I thought a closed fist was bad, but apparently it's justice. A closed fist can be bad. And just as that image could be rebelling against something that is good, it can also be standing up against something that is bad. Always comes down to what is it. And this is the question behind this guy asking Jesus about who is my neighbor. And at the end of it, Jesus, at the end of the parable, Jesus says, well, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Notice Jesus has changed the definition of neighbor. It's not just the person who lives in the house next to me. Jesus says, no, it's anybody who crosses your path. It's anybody out there. If it's loving your neighbor, it's anybody out there who you come in contact with. That's the person. So Jesus moves some way to define and yet somehow muddy the waters a little bit further. And so the expert in the law replied, because it's quite plain and simple to him in that moment, isn't it? What's the one who had mercy on him? In other words, it's the one who did the right thing at the right time. There's a couple of other characters, aren't there, in a couple of other people who weren't the good neighbor that loved him. There was a priest and there was a Levite. They were there in the right time. Did you notice? It was the right time. It was the time when somebody needed help. It was the right time. They didn't get that wrong, but they didn't do the right thing at the right time. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I've driven past somebody stuck on the side of the road and afterwards thought, it would have been good to stop, and that's the right thing, but it was at the wrong time. It's bringing both these things together, isn't it? The right thing at the right time. And we see that in the Samaritan. So that's the first point. Know what justice looks like. The second point sort of swings on the other side of that. Recognize what injustice is. They say in the book, a justice culture develops deep moral perceptions to recognize injustice. And so they also have developed deep moral perceptions to recognize justice and to live out justice, but also to recognize injustice. And this is something that happens, I think, over time. True justice that comes from the Spirit and reflects Christ's character is something that comes over time. And so also recognizing what is injustice is something, as we walk with Jesus, becomes clear over time as well. So I've got a little exercise for you. Are you ready for some involvement? That's all right, we're going to do it anyway. Oh, you said yes. Excellent. So this is a passage. I'm going to ask a question. So I'm going to read the passage. And every time I read something that is an injustice, can you do me a favor? Can I get you to growl? Just go, like that. Okay? I want you to get angry at the injustice, man. Okay, so when I come to a part of the passage that has an injustice, go, right? This is only going to work if you're fully committed, guys. It's going to be, this massive injustice, and you go, let's care about the injustice. Are you ready? Okay, I'm doing it anyway. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers. Oh, she was up my spine. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away. Less committed with that one. Oh, well. Leaving him half dead. I know. My dad always said, don't leave a job half done. Great injustice. That was a joke. I'm going to move on. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. It's like you've all got colds and you're just clearing your throat. What a growl. So too, a Levite, and when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Okay. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Jesus has set up a good example for us to, as beginners perhaps, see where injustice is. None of you would want that to happen to you, would you? And that's one of the things, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is actually a bit of a justice thing, isn't it? It helps us. I wouldn't want those things done to me. I'm going to do this exercise again with a different part of the passage, okay? And it might be a little bit harder to see where the injustice is. Are you ready? Doing it anyway. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. I didn't hear. Was there some confusion? This passage reflects something that is deeply unfair, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Deeply unfair. Doesn't this disturb you? Don't you get angry at this? Whose character does it reflect? Yeah. Think of the cross. Did he have to pay for what I have done or what has happened to me? No. But he does. Do you know one of the things about grace? It's not fair. Because if it was fair, it wouldn't be grace. This is why the definition in Merriam-Webster is not sufficient for what justice according to Jesus is. Because this is justice. You're right not to have growled. Because it's a different definition, isn't it? Justice according to Jesus is where we don't just do what we have to do. It's where we go further than that. Jesus didn't have to come down. Jesus didn't have to humble himself. Jesus didn't have to imprison himself in a human body where he had to eat and go to the toilet and do the things that we have to do. Let alone go to a cross. He didn't have to. None of that was fair. And so Jesus lays out for this guy what it is to be a neighbor in his kingdom, and not in the kingdom that we usually swim in at all, is it? According to fairness rather than justice. According to who Jesus is, it's two different things. And so as we move on from that, there's this verse that just sums this up really, isn't it? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do you remember the first few words of verse 1, the verse that comes before that? Do you remember what it is? In view of God's mercy. Or another way I like to put that is, if you can see the cross, if you're looking at the cross, don't conform to the old pattern where things were fair, but instead to a new pattern where you go, wow, for me to give more than is required, it may not be fair, but it's beautiful. It's the same with grace and forgiveness and with compassion and a lot of the things we've looked at in the Wheel of Tov. I think you looked at truth as well, and I'm just always reminded of that idea of truth, and to dump truth on people, you could say, well, that's fair. It's the truth. Truth's loving. No, no, no. How are you going to give the truth? And Jesus was an expert at doing that in a way that people might listen to the truth. And so there's this, I guess, new way of understanding things. We're going to go on to our third point. Now we come to recognize the fallout and press on. And I hope that this is something that might encourage you this week. Those who, it says in the book, those who would form a goodness culture of justice will do the right thing regardless of the fallout. Sometimes that means admitting fault and confessing sins. Sometimes it means coming under attack and taking hits. Justice can be hard to live out. It requires courage at times. And some of you might think, but why? Like, isn't it easy to do the right thing, to stop, to help the person? And the interesting thing is Jesus highlights in the parable of the Good Samaritan how difficult it can be, but it's very easy to just pass over. Jesus tells the guy at the end, what? Go and do likewise. Now, for a moment there, we go, of course, go and do likewise. But what is likewise in this situation? It's actually deeply embedded in the parable, isn't it? Who was it who passed this Jew by without helping him? It was the Levite, it was the priest. They are the Jews of Jews. They are the best of the best of the best. And they passed him by. Who was it who stopped? The Samaritan. Do Jews like Samaritans? No, they hate them. And how do Samaritans feel about Jews? They feel like they're hated and they hate them in return. Welcome to that part of the world. And Jesus has just said, go and do likewise. And so this guy now has to go out into a world where Jews hate Samaritans and Samaritans hate Jews, and he has to be a Jew who will love a Samaritan. And he has to do that in front of everybody. And he will take hits for that. It's not easy. It's what the world needs more than anything else, and it's the answer to so many of our problems, and yet it's so hard. Go and treat Samaritans as your neighbor. It's going to cost. And so that's our three points for this morning, to recognize the fallout, to be able to recognize injustice, and to be able to recognize justice. And as we look at the Wheel of Tov, it's all about shaping us as people, as individuals, but also our culture as a church. And I guess it's really helpful right now just to finish with this. It's another cartoon from that guy who's called the Naked Pastor. And if you don't know what Naked Pastor is, it's pastor without any dressing. Anyway. And so I don't agree with everything, all of his views or anything like that. Just recognizing he's a bit edgy. But this is a cartoon that he did, which you might not see the connection straight up, but hopefully it'll become clear. So this is the pastor preaching to the people. He says, shame has always was always used to make me fall in line. It worked because it's the easiest and most immediate way to control people, but it damaged me like it will damage you. If you ever catch me shaming you, please tell me. Shame is a hard habit to break. I guess the point is, as we think about shaping a culture, for people who stand up here, for your elders, for those who have, I guess, some responsibility, if you want to put it that way, or whatever it might be, we need to be accountable to you. And in the world of justice and injustice, that is... it's not just in the world of whether shaming you, and to me, I mean, shame is often used as a form of coercive control, I guess, or something similar, and I don't think that's just. And I think justice in that situation involves somebody standing up and saying, stop. There's also a recognition in this, isn't there, in this cartoon, that we all fall into the trap at times of doing it. And so we also need to be a culture of accountability too. Where we find that this is happening, and so this goes back to the third point of sometimes speaking up, isn't it? And I hope that you never have to speak up to say to any of us who are leaders here, you're not leading well. Here's why. But if we do, I hope you never have to. But if you do, I'd encourage you to do so. There's a box at the back. You may be able to do it anonymously as well. But whether it's shame or whether it's other forms of injustice, this has been something that has undermined the church, because this sort of thing has happened in the church so much. Are your leaders setting the example of Jesus? Are they trying to grow in that? And indeed, are we all trying to grow in that? So I'd encourage you to think about that. It does lead a little bit into potentially, I guess, the invitation to nurture grace this week. But what is the right thing to do at the right time with dot, dot, dot? And I want you to fill in the dot, dot, dot. And maybe right now there's something that for the last 50 years has been in your life that you could put there, or maybe it's something that'll happen tomorrow. I don't know. But where is it that Jesus might be asking you to be his justice in the world at this time? And how will you lean into the help of the Holy Spirit to discern that injustice, but also to know how to face it in the way that is going to be most helpful for all concerned? And how will you respond in that way rather than react? One of the realities in this world is that we often react to injustices, and somehow more injustice occurs through that reaction. How will we respond so that the world is a better place? They're big things, aren't they? I think I should pray for us all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for that cross on which our Saviour died. We thank you for the way Jesus reshapes justice. The way that he takes the whole Old Testament law and redefines it. And also just pray for us as a church. And for each of us here as individuals, as your disciples walking with you. Lord, help us to know what justice is in each unique and different situation that we might find ourselves in. Help us to recognize injustice and to be able to face it and know what you would do. And pray that you would help us with these things. Pray that you would encourage us. Some of this has been heavy, I guess, but it also all comes in the context of being people who are loved by you, who have been shown great unfairness through your incredible grace. And so we are thankful for the new life that we have. We pray that you would help us to live that new life to the full, reflecting your character and your love in a broken world that needs your love so much. In Jesus' name, amen.